Chapter 1. Vandus, they called him. It was a name of omen, one that carried the favour of the Golden City. He would be the first, they said. None would set foot in the mortal realms ahead of him, though the bringers of vengeance would be close behind. For a long time he had not understood what they meant, for they had had to school him as a child, teaching him to remember what he had once known by instinct. Now, with the passing of aeons, he understood. The empty years were coming to a close, and the designs of the God-King were at last reaching ripeness. He was the instrument, just one of the limitless host, but the brightest star amid the constellations of salvaged glory. For so long now, it had just been Azir, and all else was lost in the fog of time. But there had been other worlds. Now, very soon, there would be so again. They were gazing up at him, 10,000 arrayed in gold and cobalt and ranked in the shining orders of battle. The walls around them soared like cliffs, each one gilt, reflective, and marked with the sigils of the reforged. Vandus stood under a dome of sapphire. A long flight of marble stairs led down to the hall's crystal floor. Above them all, engraved in purest sigmarite, was the sign of the twin-tailed comet, radiant amid its coronet of silver. This thing had never been done. In 1,000 years of toil and counsel, in all the ancient wars that the God-King had conducted across realms now lost, it had never been done. Even the wisdom of gods was not infinite, and so all the long ages of labour might yet come to naught. He lifted his hand, turning the sigmarite gauntlet before him, marvelling at the manner in which the armour encased his flesh. Every piece of it was perfect, pored over by the artificers before being released for the service of the Eternals. He clenched the golden fingers into a fist and held it high above him. Below him, far below, his storm host, the hammers of Sigmar, raised a massed roar. As one, they clenched their own right hands. Hammer hand! Vandus revelled in the gesture of fealty. The vaults shook from their voices, each one greater and deeper than that of a mortal man. They looked magnificent. They looked invincible. This night! Vandus cried, and his words swelled and filled the gulf before him. This night we open gates long closed. The host fell silent, rapt, knowing these would be the last words they heard before the void took them. This night we smite the savage, Vandus said. This night we smite the demon. We cross the infinite. We dare to return to the realm of our birthright. 10,000 golden helms looked up at him. 10,000 fists gripped the shafts of warhammers. The liberators, the greater part of the mighty host, stood proudly, arrayed in glistening phalanxes of gold. All of them had once been mortal, just as he had been, though now they bore the aspect of fiery angels, their mortality transmuted into majesty. The design of eternity brought you here, Vandus said, sweeping his gaze across the sea of expectant faces. Fate gave you your gifts, and the forge has augmented them 100-fold. You are the foremost servants of the God-King now. You are his blades. You are his shields. You are his vengeance. Amid the liberators stood the retributors, even more imposing than their comrades, carrying huge two-handed lightning hammers across their immense breastplates. They were the solid heart of the army, the champions about which the legion was ordered. Slivers of pale lightning sparked from their heavy plate, residue of a fearsome, overspilling power within. You are the finest, the strongest, the purest, Vandus told them. In pain were you made, but in glory will you live. No purpose have you now but to bring terror to the enemy, to lay waste to his lands, and to shatter his fortresses.
On either flank stood the prosecutors, the most severely elegant of all the warriors there assembled. Their armor was sheathed in a sheer carapace of swan-white wings, each blade of which dazzled in its purity. Their spirits were the most extreme, the wildest and the proudest. If they were a little less steadfast than their brothers, they compensated with the exuberance of flight, and in their gauntlets they kindled the raw essence of the comet itself.
"We are sent now into the heart of nightmares," said Vandus. "For ages uncounted, this canker has festered across the face of the universe, extinguishing hope from lands that were once claimed by our people. The war will be long. There will be suffering and there will be anguish, for we are set against the very legions of hell."
Besides Vandus stood the great celestial Drakoth, its armored hide glinting from the golden light of the hall. Wisps of hot smoke curled from its nostrils, and its long talons raked across the crystal floor. Vandus had been the first to tame such a beast, though now others were in the service of the Storm Host. The Drakoth was the descendant of far older mythic creatures, and retained a shard of their immortal power.
"But they know us not. They believe all contests to be over, and that nothing remains but plunder and petty cruelties. In secrecy have we been created, and our coming shall be to them as the ending of worlds. With our victory, the torment will cease, the slaughter will cease. We will cleanse these worlds with fire and consign the usurpers back to the pits that spewed them forth."
As he spoke, Vandus felt the gaze of his fellow captains on him. An Aktos Skyhelm was there, lean and proud, master of the winged host. Lord Relictor Ionis, the one they called the Cryptborn, remained in the margins, though his dry presence could be sensed, watching, deliberating. If the lightning bridge was secured, those two would be at the forefront, marshalling the vanguard to take the great prize, the Gate of Azir, locked for near eternity and only unbarred by the release of magics from both sides of the barrier. And yet, for all their authority, only one soul had the honor of leading the charge. The God King himself had bestowed the title on him, Lord Celestant, first of the Storm Host. Now Vandus raised both hands, one holding Heldensen aloft, the other still clenched tight. His weapon shaft caught the light of crystal lamps and blazed as if doused in captured moonlight.
"Let the years of shame be forgotten," he declared. "The fallen shall be avenged, and the dark gods themselves shall feel our fury."
The glittering host below clashed their hammers against their heavy shields before raising the weapons in salute and acclamation. The entire vault filled with the fervor of voices raised in anticipation.
"Reconquest begins, my brothers!"
Vandus roared, feeding on their raw potency.
"This night, we bring them war!"
A great rumble ran across the floor of the hall, as if the earth were moving. Arcs of lightning began to snap and writhe across the golden walls of the vault. The sigil of the comet blazed diamond clear, throwing beams of coruscation across the hall's immense length. Something was building to a crescendo. Something massive.
"This night,"
Vandus cried, glorying in the full release of the divine magic,
"we ride the storm!"
A huge boom shook the chamber, running up from the foundations to the high roof. The howl of thunderborn wind raced through the hall, igniting into white flame as it reached the full pitch of extremity. the golden ambient light exploded, bursting out from every part of the walls, the arched roof and the glistening floors, and lightning came with it in beams as thick as a man's arm. There was a second rolling boom, and the space between the walls was lost in a maelstrom of argent fire. The world reeled, as if thrown from its foundations, and the sharp tang of ozone flared, bitter and pungent. Then, as suddenly as it had come, the lightning snapped out, the brilliance faded, and the winds guttered away. The hall remained, suffused with the haze of gold, still lit bright by the light of the comet sigil. Only now, the marble floor was empty. No voices remained. No warriors stood in ranks. Nothing but the receding echoes of the colossal detonation lingered, curled like smoke across the walls of gold.